Yeah, okay. these papers help. Jar some memories. And adding things I don't think I knew. The door is locked, right? Just making sure. If you guys hear something, could you please tell me? Can we maybe get someone else in here, please? In this room, I mean. I'd feel a lot safer. I'm being more than forthright with all of you. I'm sharing all of this very personal stuff, which I only hope is helping. My dad's dead remains in the basement, the burnt bodies, the disappearing people. Sally? Maybe I'm just going crazy. Just help me. Please. I want to help. You all don't live here. You don't realize it's this place, my mind. Why is my head swimming? Huh. These newspaper clippings are interesting. It turns out they were able to recognize some of the bodies. There were 10 bodies. One was the old host of the local radio station out of Rockford. That's where Heartland Supernatural is produced. He had just turned 30. He hadn't been dead for more than a day. You know, I think my boss mentioned that once. He got the job after the death. I mean, he's been working there ever since. Unfortunately, there were several other bodies, all different ages and different stages of decay, but all burned to a crisp. After that, everyone just stops talking about it. It's not even in the next issue. The police, the newspapers, they all just moved on. No big investigation? No uproar about a serial killer? Nothing. We mentioned it to the police and they did what they could, but it was immediately dropped. I didn't really even think about it. For news that big in a small town? It's weird. Oh, I take it you guys found the session about the school? Great. Yeah, let's listen to it.
Welcome to the Beating Heartland, created by Denver Bauman. Episode 4, The First Day of School.
Ariadne, thank you so much for the short notice. I remembered something, and I just have to talk about it before I forget. So, on the first day of school, the year I met Sam, I mentioned it before, I think. Something happened. I need to talk about it. I can see it so clearly right now. First day of school. You know, the whole deal. It's always supposed to be terrible. New people, new expectations, new classes. It's a lot. It's a kid's way of learning what adult life is going to be like. You're going to be chucked into a completely new situation, and it's going to be terrifying. You're going to feel like a failure a lot. So our school, to kind of try to ease everyone in, always had a first day of school assembly. We would meet at the gym. I remember the floor was recently redone, so everyone had to be extra careful not to scuff it. It still got scuffed. It took about 20 minutes to get everyone seated and quiet. I was sitting next to Sam, though at the time I only knew him as the tall, blonde-haired guy. He looked at me. Smirked. Said I had a smudge on my glasses. While everyone was being seated, I took up my Game Boy. It was a few years old at this point, and I tried to hide that I was playing it. Sam noticed and whispered, "Gutsy move. Leaf green. Nice. I got Pokemon Fire Red. We should trade." After that, it was almost immediate friendship. It doesn't take much for kids to become friends. As a kid, It doesn't matter if you even have the same likes, dislikes, hobbies. If you wanted to be best friends, you would be. Now, thankfully, Sam and I did have a lot in common. Mega nerds. But he also liked sports, so I was instantly enthralled by how cool he was. Again, this wasn't the 80s, but everything in the Midwest takes a little bit to catch up with the times. So a nerd who was also good at sports was a bit of an oddity. We hit it off. We almost didn't notice when the principal started to speak. Jasmine hit us on the top of the head from behind, which made us realize the assembly had started. The principal's voice was that of someone who had been smoking since they were six. He had a large, bulbous face, a very impressive handlebar mustache, and buttons a little too snug on his shirt. A little cloud of smoke always circled above him from the large cigar in his mouth. Yes, he smoked inside the school. Again, the Midwest.
Fear is completely natural. I see it on all of your faces. You're walking new stones laid out before you. You're hopping one to the other and hoping they can keep your weight. They don't. Not always. Sometimes you fall. Down, down, down. But that's okay, because you can always get back up again. And you don't have to do it alone. You have your fellow classmates, your family, your friends, all of you feeling fear. So much fear all the time. Everyone there to pick you back up and keep you going. We're all going somewhere. Several of us, the same place. So, know that it's okay to be scared. Embrace it. And let it flow through you. Good luck with another school year. It's gonna be a doozy.
It's weird. It felt like he was staring at me and just a couple other students the entire time. Not blinking. Gauging our specific reactions. That was 10 years ago, and I still remember every detail. Telling all of this to you now, I can remember it like it's happening right in front of me. It's so vivid and clear. But for some reason, when I'm not here talking to you, it just... everything becomes so muddled. Like I'm walking around blind all the time. Sorry, this isn't helpful. When the assembly finished, we were all ushered away to our classes. Mrs. Nevins, our science teacher, intercepted Sam and me. I don't think there is any woman that looks more like a turtle than she did. She glared at us, lips pursed together. Game boy, now! Her face quivered, the bags under her eyes drooping like they were about to flop to the ground. Sam and I handed over the Game Boy, and she said, "You can claim it at the principal's office after school is out. Better be grateful I'm not giving you detention." And she walked away, very slowly. It looked like every step hurt. But then she saw a couple of other kids misbehaving. Her head snapped around faster than a blink, and immediately started shuffling towards them, shrieking at them to behave. Sam and I just laughed. We went to class, and I discovered that Sam was a fantastic artist. During math, he poked me covertly and handed me a paper of a, well, a pretty amazing, disrespectful, and hilarious caricature of Mrs. Nevins wearing a shell and yelling at some innocent tadpoles. We laughed. And that was another strike. The teacher yelled at us. Sent us to the principal's office for acting out and passing notes. We didn't care. On our way to the principal's office, we just chatted about the latest games coming out. We were almost hit when we reached the office door, as it opened suddenly. A tall man wearing a wide-brimmed hat and long features walked out.
"So sorry about that. I wasn't paying attention. Here, let me help you."
And he held the door open for us. Sam and I nodded and said thanks as we walked in.
"No problem, Denver." Wait. That's right. He said my name. Do I know him? I feel like I know him somehow. Anyway, the secretary told us to wait.
Before long, we heard the long, drawn-out coughs of the principal as he growled for us to enter. We sat there, feeling much smaller under the deadly stare of this man. Something about him just made us feel so little. We waited as he eyed us, a cloud of smoke from the cigar above him making our noses tickle.
Well, what do you have to say for yourselves?
Speak up! We were speaking in class, passing drawings.
What?
He grunted and walked over to us.
Why on earth were you doing that?
Look, we were just having some fun.
Young man, this is a place of learning. You will both stay for detention after classes are finished.
What?
I will not tolerate insubordination.
But this is so... Sam, let's just do it. Fine.
Good. Would hate to have to punish you boys more. Once school is finished, you will clean every blackboard and make sure each teacher's trash is taken out. Should teach you all a lesson in school, alone.
Yes, sir.
We left the office and finished our classes. Sam and I were in a bad mood for the rest of the day, and thankfully didn't anger any other teacher. Sam and I slowly shuffled our way to the office.
Maybe it was just the smoke, but your heart immediately felt like it was in your throat, choking you out. His voice, his essence, everything felt so ancient and intimidating.
We made it to his office, and the door opened without us knocking.
Come in.
He handed us supplies.
You're not allowed to leave until the job is finished. If you do, well, I will have to find a more suitable punishment.
So that's what we did. We left the dingy office and began going from one classroom to another. The school building was old, by the way. It was built before the Great Depression, and hasn't seen a lot of updates since. It's easy to get lost. Long, narrow corridors, barely working lights, dust sitting on everything with the thick weight of years. Sam tried to keep our spirits high, joking, talking about the movie showing at the local theater, trying to find a way for us to sneak in. If anyone else had seen us, they would have assumed we'd been friends for years. Let's call it trauma bonding. It was when we entered the science lab that things took a turn. Sam noticed it first. The cold. Like all the energy being sucked out of everything around us. We could see our breath. It wasn't even fall yet. The weather outside was perfect. That's when I noticed it was dark out. It couldn't have been late enough to be dark out. Sam looked at me, confused. A storm coming? I don't know. My voice echoed. We were in a crowded science lab, but it echoed. Sam was shivering. Suddenly, we noticed the teacher's chair swivel, and something sitting in it. To say it was Mrs. Nevins wouldn't be accurate. She looked stretched, like she had been pulled from her head and feet. Her limbs were long. Her eyes sagged, almost like she was wearing a mask. Loose skin flopping around. The eyes were small and glowed faintly white in the dark. They didn't look large enough for the sockets. She smiled, her head cocked far to the side.
Good. You're both here. It's time for a lesson about science. First, ask me a question.
Sam and I turned around quickly to run out of the room, but the door swung shut. The lights flickered, and the latch locked.
That's no way to behave in my classroom. ask me a question.
I stared at Sam, who was shaking. I stumbled over my words.
What's happening? That's not a very good question. It should be obvious.
She held up Sam's drawing of her, screaming at the tadpoles.
Time for me to ask a question. What happens to a tadpole when they grow older? Sam, do you know?
Sam couldn't speak.
Pity. You obviously didn't do your reading. Denver, how about you?
They turn into frogs.
Correct! Very good, Denver. We will leave you for last. Now, it's time to dissect these frogs.
She reached at us. We ducked and tried to find anywhere in the room we could escape. She was quick, moving faster than I could process. Before long, her hand was around my throat.
It's such a pity I must do this now, Denver. We all hoped you had several years left in you. Oh well, the others won't be happy.
She began to squeeze on my throat. Suddenly, Mrs. Nevins fell with a thump to the ground. Sam was standing behind her, holding a chair. Without speaking, I stood up, and Sam rushed to the door and smashed down on the lock with the chair. The lock broke off, and we rushed out of the room. But not before I heard the gurgling, slapping sound of something shedding its skin.
We gotta get out of here!
The door to the science room slammed behind. In front of us was a long, long hallway. It didn't stop. It stretched until we couldn't see the end. Closed doors, lockers, flickering lights were all we could see. Sam gasped.
What the crap? What's happening?
His voice echoed down the hallway. A noise returned. A slow, raspy, guttural laugh of our principal. We saw a cloud of smoke carefully making its way towards us. We quickly turned around to run in the other direction, but we were met with more endless hallway. We continued to run. What else was there to do? We hadn't been running for more than a minute when Sam suddenly stopped. I almost ran into him.
Are you crazy? Why did you stop?
Sam just pointed, and I immediately screamed. In front of us, about 30 feet away, was something I still don't understand. It looked human if you squinted really hard, but its joints were all out of line, like they had been broken countless times. Its head was upside down, the neck limply laying on its chest. The face was pale, blood dripping out of the mouth, long black hair almost touching the floor as its gray limbs shuffled towards us. The pale, beady eyes glinted with delight. Mrs. Nevin's true form. She laughed.
Nowhere to run, boys. The school will have you eventually. It always wins.
We turned back around and began sprinting the other direction.
You're not going to fare any better with old smoke lungs, dearie. I'll make it quick and painless for you. He won't be so kind.
We knew we were doomed, but suddenly, Sam skidded to a stop and ran through a door that was, for some reason, open. I quickly followed behind, slammed the door shut, and locked it. I looked around quickly for anything that could help, but the room was wrong. It was just doors. It was filled with doors circling around us, all closed. I ran up to one and heaved on it, but it was locked. Sam tried another, desperate, locked.
What do we do? I don't know. Well, we have to try something. What do you suggest?
Try all the doors?
Yeah.
Do you really think that's going to get us out of this place? It's toying with us.
What do you mean?
I can feel it. This building, those creatures out there, they're linked, wanting us to lose hope.
wanting us to be afraid, and then eat us? I don't know. But we need to think. There has to be some way out, some way to survive this. There has to be an answer.
Don't ask me how I knew the building was linked with the things. I don't know. It was a feeling. The same feeling, actually, when I came to see you. It's like a pulling that it was a good idea to come talk with you. My whole life has just been one red string after another, intertwined in front of my eyes, each one something that happened to me. And when a new string was placed, I forget the last one. That's why I'm here. You clear my mind. Help me remember something about this place, about you. It calms me. Helps me see. To remember. I don't know why Sam and I survived that day. We were sitting, crying in the room. We had exhausted every door. Sounds of creatures boomed from the other side of each one, ready to tear us apart. I kept saying, "It's not my time yet. It's not my time yet. Please, it's not my time yet." And then suddenly, we were both on the ground in the science room. Sam's head was bruised, and there was a broken flask next to him on the ground. A horrible smell coming from it. Mrs. Nevins was standing above us. My heart dropped, and I tried to get away, but she just picked up the broken flask and smelled it.
"Good thing I forgot my purse. You all could have been really messed up from these fumes. Let's get you out of here, dearies."
She tried to pick us up, but we both pulled away. She pursed her lips, but allowed us to stand up on our own. We didn't say anything, and quickly left the room. But as we left, I did hear her mutter, "Someday." It was late. The stars were shining. Sam looked at me, his eyes unfocused for a second.
"Nice to meet you, by the way. Sorry I got you wrapped up in a detention on the first day. I'm exhausted. That sucked."
It's no problem, man. Yeah, those rooms took forever."
We said goodbye. The rest of the school year went almost as usual, as far as I can remember. As for the detention, well, to my mind, it was harsh, but normal. You see what I mean? My mind isn't right. That place, that town. I hope you don't think I'm crazy. If you do, don't say it, please. I don't need any more confirmation. Just know that you're helping me. I know you're recording all of this, by the way. It's fine.
I don't remember that visit.
Any of it. I mean, I barely remember the school. But I don't think I'm the only one. Sam thought everything was normal after, too. That town. There's like a fog. Man, I feel bad for Ariadne. I have put her through the ringer. You've noticed she's not much of a chatterer. She usually just likes to listen, which is fine by me. So I guess we add a creepy school and teachers to the list. Don't know how it helps. Although something that Mrs. Nevins said, or at least the creature pretending to be her, "They won't be happy about this," or something. Did she mean the teachers? And also, what's causing the bad memories for everyone? I mean, is there something in the water? I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. If you guys are on the other side of the glass coming up with answers without me, not cool. Did you guys just slide in a paper? You wrote on it. Who do you think killed your dad? I mean, you want me to circle back there? Okay, no questions about the school? I mean, come on, that stuff was messed up. Okay, who killed my dad? Not my mom. I don't know why I said that so quickly. Why am I so sure of that? I've always
known that. Like, a dead body in my mom's basement, you know, makes sense that maybe mom's responsible, but I know she didn't. How do I know that? I mean, you guys don't know her. Sure, she's a little neglectful at times, but she's not a killer. She couldn't have. My great aunt told me she... My great aunt! Find the session about my great aunt. Now! There's something there that I... Are the lights getting dim? In here? I just...
The Beating Heartland was written and performed by Denver Bauman. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review us on whatever streaming platform you are using. Follow us online at The Beating Heartland. Thank you for listening.